everybody. Welcome to Terror Talk Horror Edition.
Wonderful. I like horror.
I like horror too. Today on the show, I am going to talk about Carrie, the 1974 book by Stephen King, and the movie Carrie, the 1976 movie from the story by Stephen King, but directed by Brian De Palma.
Sad story.
It is a sad story, and I know it's definitely not one of your favorites, but I did want to share that the book is different from the movie, and I'll talk about why that is and how that is, and because I know you might never read the book, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to start by saying, you know, the source material is obviously Stephen King, and it was his first published novel back in 1974, which is pretty great. And I would say I haven't read all of Stephen King's books, but in comparison to many, it is short, to the point, concise. It's a very straightforward horror story, even though the book follows three lines of story as opposed to the movie obviously being like a linear beginning, middle, and end, which I thought they did a great adaptation of it. Several things are different, but I wanted to start with the novel. And I have read some of Stephen King's stories that he published in magazines and different things before he got his novel published. And one of the reasons why I wanted to start with Carrie, because it's his first published novel, but also because although I have not read all of Stephen King's books, I haven't even come close to reading all of Stephen King's books. I admire those of you who have. There are so many. Mm-hmm. But it could take me the rest of my life, but I'm in a Stephen King reread / read. So some of these from the 70s and 80s and probably a few from the 90s, and there's a couple of contemporary ones, are going to be rereads for me. But there are gaps in my Stephen King reading because as a kid, I didn't read all of them. But I did want to mention that Stephen King, maybe many of you, was a entry into horror as a pretty young person. And so we've talked on the show about our sort of horror movies that made us. We do those episodes now every now and then. There are horror books and just books that make us too. I was a reader as a kid and read a lot and stumbled upon Stephen King and got obsessed with his humor. And he always had teenagers and kids in his books. So that was another, you know, hook. There were a lot of, you know, Stand By Me. There was a lot of books that, and Carrie is obviously a teenager. So that attracted me to him. And he had a heyday in the 80s and 90s as well. And he still has a heyday. He wins all the book awards and all the things and sells millions of books and all of that. But I haven't been really into Stephen King in the last couple of decades. So I'm talking about him from a standpoint of he's a horror author that made me kind of thing. He was the first author. I remember reading The Stand and just mm-hmm. being like, fell in love. And I know a lot of people, that's not their favorite book, but it was an entry level book for me. So I remember it well. So I'm going to start, and I figured I would use the content for the show since it's on brand.
Sounds good.
So I reread Carrie. I had read it a million years ago, but you know, you forget. I've read a lot of books since then. So I reread Carrie, and I also rewatched Carrie the movie, and I also watched Carrie the Rage, Carrie 2, which was just ridiculous. So I'll mention that at some point just for fun. And apparently there's a Carrie musical as well, but I have not seen that.
I think I remember something about that.
And a couple years back, they announced that they were going to do a Carrie series. And I don't see that they actually did it. So more to be revealed on that. I imagine it would make a pretty interesting one. And then, of course, I've seen the 2013 Carrie movie before. So it's all things Carrie today. Stephen King's inspiration for the book was that it was a composite of two girls that he knew in high school. And the story that he wanted to write was largely about how women find their own channels of power and what men fear about women and women's sexuality. And that's why there's so many visuals in the movie and little subtleties that if you watch it more than once, you can pick up in that first, you know, act of the movie where she gets her period in the shower. And mm-hmm. that is a big trauma in her life. And then afterwards, how things unfold, how they handle it, how the male principal can, you know, can barely look at her and is really struggling to talk about it. And the female gym coach is the one that has to help with all of that. And how this idea of women's sexuality is so fearful. And how they find their own representations of power, like I said. And so ultimately, Carrie having supernatural powers is a metaphor, of course, for how she finds her own revenge and finds her own power. Because it's a revenge story for sure, like an OG revenge story. And we have a couple of episodes coming up for Women's History Month that we're going to do a two-part series on women's revenge movies. And so I thought this works well with that because this is very much an OG revenge flick. And Carrie White is this sadly bullied, mistreated teenager and an example of the sort of person whose spirit is often broken for good in that pit of man and women eaters that is the normal suburban high school. And this is coming from Stephen King's website. This was what he writes about his inspiration for this. And so she's an example of that person that in suburban high schools just gets eaten up. But also, she's a woman feeling her powers for the first time. And it says, like Samson pulling down the temple on everyone in sight of the end of the book, right? It's one of the big differences between the book and the movie is the ending, but we'll get to that later. So the basic description of the book, so that for those of you who may not really know even what I'm talking about, is that it's a story of a misfit high school girl. Her name is Carrie White. In the movie, you may know her. She was played by Sissy Spacek very famously. And FYI, the audiobook for this story is read by Sissy Spacek. So I did the audiobook this time and because of that, and it was a delightful experience because obviously Sissy Spacek has a deep connection to this character, played her 50 years ago or what have you when she was very young, and she was nominated for an Oscar, as was Piper Laurie for her role as the mother in this movie.
She was just evil.
Yeah, they were both exceptional and got nominated. They didn't win, but they got nominated for Oscars. They won some other awards at film festivals and things, but so Carrie White gradually discovers that she has telekinetic powers, and that's what makes this a horror movie, besides, of course, the total destruction of things at the end. But repressed by a domineering and ultra-religious mother and tormented by her peers at school, her efforts to fit in lead to a very dramatic confrontation during the senior prom. And watching this movie after having read the book, the movie is so straightforward. It just like gets to the point so fast. It's just like it moves along. It's very well made. I mean, Brian De Palma, you know, obviously this was a win for him way back when. And the filmmaking is just very straightforward. And the story is very straightforward, at least what the narrative part of what they took for this story. And so one of the things I think that, you know, what Kathy was saying about how sad this story is that there's so much trauma involved in Carrie's story. And then there's so much buildup in the movie. Brian De Palma really builds this scenario where you know what's coming. And so there's so much angst and so much fear and anxiety around how she will ultimately be humiliated at her prom.
Right.
And it's hard to tolerate. I would say that's one. I want to start with some of the differences and talk about the novel and the movie kind of together. Is that one of the big differences between the book and the movie is that you are following how it's told, basically, is very different. The 1974 novel and the way it's told is largely, I wouldn't say largely, but there is a line of retrospective accounts or testimonies. So, and then you also have the kind of real-time narrative of Carrie's story, which you see unfold in the movie. But in the book, a huge part of this book is retrospective. So you've got newspaper clippings, you've got interviews with police after things have, after the high school was destroyed and people were killed, because that's how everything ends. You have interviews with Sue, who is kind of the prom queen type that is a major part of this story and is the reason why Carrie even goes to the prom. You have, she writes a book, and then you have clips from that book. You have interviews with her, and you have police interviews and newspaper clippings. From the very, very beginning, they're talking about after the high school tragedy, da 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 da. So as a reader, you're like, oh, there's a high school tragedy. I wonder what happened. And then you're following this story of Carrie and her mom and what happens at school and these bullies. You're also following the relationship between the boy and the girl that ultimately dropped the blood on her at the prom.
Oh, that is different.
Yeah. So you're also following their relationship and how kind of fucked up their relationship is and how they get to where they're doing it and the promises that are made. And so you're following a lot of these lines, and the narrative straightforward story that you see in the movie is that one piece of the story that's linear. And then these other parts are, you don't, I guess the relationship between the two, the boy and the girl that ultimately enact this, you know, kill pigs to get pig blood and then drop it on her at the prom, that couple, you're also following them in linear time.
Okay.
But it's much more developed. Like in the movie, it's just John Travolta and what's her face, and they're kind of idiots. And
yeah, they don't, they're not, they're very one dimensional characters in the movie.
Yeah. And I saw an interview actually with the girl, and I'm sorry, I'm not remembering her name right now, but the female that ends up pulling the rope
sure.
and dropping the blood on Carrie. I saw an interview with her, and she's like, I thought it was a comedy because they were so over the top and ridiculous. And I thought they were so stupid and vapid and that they were fighting about inane things that I thought it was a comedy. And yes, their parts are comedic.
Yeah.
Throughout, like Travolta's ridiculous. And this is before Travolta did The Boy in the Bubble. This is The Boy in the Bubble came out the same year as this movie. So it was before he was catapulted.
Oh my God, I remember that movie.
He wasn't famous
right
when he made this movie. But he's got that whole Saturday Night Live, like, shuck and jive.
Oh, Saturday
like
Night Fever? Yeah.
Saturday Night Fever, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, he's got that whole shuck and jive like he does in that movie.
He does.
It's kind of funny to watch, but it's before all of that. So that's one of the big differences, is just the way it's told. And the telekinesis piece of this story is addressed right away. They, part of the retrospective is they read from, like, psychiatric journals or whatever and talk about what telekinesis is and how it's supposed to be genetic and all of this. So you're talking about telekinesis like right away. There was always this feeling in the movie, and upon rewatch, I did notice that they do sort of address it a little bit in the beginning, but in the book, there are scenes from when she was three and doing things. And then there are scenes, and you're kind of talking about it all along and how she knows she has this power, which is different than the movie for me.
It is different.
Now, when I rewatched the movie, there was a couple times where she says, "Mama, you know I can move things," or whatever. There's like little tiny allusions to it, but it's not something you really key into unless you're really, really looking for it. You kind of don't know what she's talking about when you first watch the movie. I would say the book is very clear about telekinesis being a theme. It's what's kind of going on. And then you're following this Carrie story, and you don't really know how it's going to unfold. the other big differences is that they talk about the mother's trauma in her character.
Oh, yeah. See, you don't know anything about it. And sorry to stop you, but yeah, no, I think ahead. That's maybe one of the, I didn't like Carrie because it was bad. I actually didn't like it because it was so good. But I did think that the characters were very one dimensional outside of Carrie.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's not one that I really go back and, but now that you're describing the book and you're getting the backstories, these would have been the characters that would have mattered.
Yeah. I mean, I think Brian De Palma was new and he made just a very simple, straightforward kind of movie.
Sure. He made a slasher. Movie.
Yeah. And
which I appreciate. It's well, just right. knowing yeah. the story and knowing now how, it's dropping words right now. Hold on. Knowing how famous this movie got and having time to watch it and analyze it and all that, it's one that I would have liked to have seen
yeah.
more depth in those characters.
Yeah. And the remakes aren't getting there either.
No.
That's fine. But so, and I'll get to the ending being different as well, which I think makes a huge difference too. And I do think that our capacity to have Stephen King's novel be more, like if they were to do a series, I think our capacity for things is much greater now, and they could actually incorporate a lot of this into a series. Because Carrie's mother, who's played by Piper Laurie in the movie, but her name is Margaret, and she's given this fuller backstory. She's portrayed as a woman who was estranged from her parents,
mm-hmm.
like abandoned, basically, and then, of course, extremely driven by her religion. And Margaret's appearance is even different in the book. You know, she's described as large and ugly with white hair and glasses. Well, in the movie, of course, she's younger. She has long reddish hair. And I'll, as an aside, Carrie also is not like I'm rewatching this movie and I'm like, Sissy Spacek is gorgeous.
Yeah,
she's gorgeous in this. She looks like an angel, even when she's unwashed and in her stupid dresses. She looks like in the book, she's bigger. She's got acne.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, no, she was very pretty. I mean, she looks really thin and like sickly in certain shots. And I think that she just played that role. But yeah, she wasn't disgusting.
But then at prom, she's gorgeous. It's just like gorgeous. So
it's a she's all that moment.
Yeah. The mother is the same in that Piper Laurie is a beautiful woman as well. And so this is not how she's portrayed in the book. And more notably, Margaret's like emotionally and physically abusive towards Carrie in the book, even more so. So there's a lot more understanding of Margaret having suffered her own traumas, and then she's abusive right out of the gate to Carrie, and there's a lot more of that. And I'm not gonna say like trigger level massive amounts of it or details, but there's a lot more. You hear about stories from when Carrie was younger, and they don't, it's that first act of the book, but they really develop that relationship and that abuse that's going on, which helps you make more sense of Carrie.
Well, yeah, that's the contextual stuff I think we miss in the movie.
Yeah, and the generational systemized abuse that was happening and why they're living in, a shack and she's put in the closet and all the things. It's just a better setup. It was a better book, It just makes it more.
Was it a really long book like it?
No. Like I was saying, like this was his first novel published and it was small, to the point, very concise.
Okay.
Like even though it has these three, it's a little over 200 pages.
Not at all. Not for him anyway.
So the film adaptation obviously portrays some of the abuse, but it doesn't show it to its full extent. There was the film version where you get all the naked girls and stuff in the beginning. And then there was like a TV version that they cut together that was a little bit shorter. But still, even in the full-on movie version, you don't see a lot of the trauma. There's more naked boobs than there is trauma.
Naked boobs. There's more naked boobs. Not clothed boobs.
No, not clothed boobs. There's some of those too. Margaret's death in the movie is really different than her death in the book as well. Carrie actually telekinetically stops her mother's heart. So it's not this like I'm pinned to the wall without, that was very visual and very cinematic, right? So the end of the movie, and I'm imagining if you're listening to this, because I did label it spoilers, you've seen the movie where mom is pinned with knives and crucifixes and stuff up to the doorway and is stabbed like 10 times and is yelling almost orgasmically as she dies because she's such a masochist or whatever. It's kind of odd and very 70s. In the book, Carrie actually just stops her mother's heart killing her. And in the movie, though, her mother does stab her, just like in the movie, but then she just stops her mother's heart. She stops her mother's heart, and Carrie makes the knives in the kitchen fly through the air and stab her mother, killing her like as a crucifixion in the movie, which I can understand why De Palma did that, because it's very, of course, cinematic and,
of course, yeah,
you know, representational of everything. And but this portrayal is certainly more visual and shocking, but in the book it's more subtle, but she does feel the, all of that guilt, and her mother does stab her. But in the book, there's a ton of motivation for this stabbing. You're watching this movie and the mom is just crazy. And you think, okay, well, she's just psychotic. And so she's stabbing her daughter because her daughter sinned or whatever. Fair, fine, works for the movie. But what really is going on there is that this mother, first of all, in the movie, her dad abandoned them. Ran away with another woman, Carrie says.
Right.
In the book, her father was working construction and was killed. And this mother was traumatized and left to birth and have this baby and have this daughter alone after her husband had been killed in a construction accident with no money, et cetera. So what we know about the mom is that just like Carrie, she was never given any education as to getting her period, being pregnant. And in the book, it talks about how the mom, the news reports in the book say that they're pretty sure mom didn't even know she was pregnant until she was started to give birth. And she didn't know what was going on, and she thought it was a demon because she didn't have much education. She didn't have anybody to raise her. She thought it was a demon, and she cut Carrie out of her stomach.
Ugh.
And with a knife. And then at that moment in time, decided that Carrie was a demon. And although she had all of the natural chemicals that mothers have, and so she felt an attachment as well, also tried to kill Carrie when she was 3. And that's why Carrie's telekinetic powers came online, is because Carrie was protecting herself from her mom trying to kill her with a knife.
There, none of this.
No. So when we get to the point where... And she talks about in the book that I lost my nerve because I had a connection to my child, but I've tried to kill her many times and never been able to do it. So that when this happens with the prom and she says she sees that her daughter is a sexualized demon now, when she wields that knife and is waiting there in the home to kill Carrie when she gets home from the prom, we know why. Because she believes this child's a demon, has been trying to kill her all her life. And so now she's going to do it and stabs her in
the
back.
That makes a lot more sense. It's not just because she could see her dirty pillows.
No.
Or had her period.
That line is in the book.
Oh, I can see your dirty pillows.
All those lines are in the book. Now, there is a lot in Act 1 and Act 2 of this movie that is definitely in the book. There's a lot of those scenes that you know and love that were taken from the book. Or love and despise all at the same time. They're all in the, many of them are in the book. So there's lots of little differences, of course. There's like, I don't know why they always change the gym teacher's name. Like in every version, the gym teacher has a different name. I have no idea why. But the other big difference that I want to talk about is the ending. the ending of this book is much more complicated, drawn out. It's just more interesting, of course, like a book can be. I don't know if they would have been able to do this as a movie, but they incorporate some of the flavor of the ending for sure. There is the pig blood all over Carrie. Tommy does die by getting hit in the head with a bucket and is saved from being burned alive. Like, you know, whatever, 170 kids are burned alive in the high school when Carrie, she calls it flexing in the book. I flexed.
Oh.
Because you're inside of Carrie's head. So it's like, I flexed and the thing moved, or I flexed and the, that's what she calls it in the book, which I think is okay. Really interesting. She experiences it like a flex, and then she flexes and things blow up, you know? So one of the big differences in the book is, of course, there's this like climactic incident at the prom. That's all there. And the reader is presented with a woman's letter. And in it, the letter describes the circumstances of her niece who is developing telekinesis, da da da. And the ending leaves readers wondering whether this girl will be the next Carrie. So there's that piece of it that ends the full book. But I want to say the prom incident is not graphically described in the book. It's literally they're at the thing, they're about to pull the rope and everything, and you've led up all of this build up with this relationship and stuff, and you have some understanding of their motivations as well. They're not good motivations, but you, at least you understand them. And then just before that happens, it cuts to one of the either books or news clippings or whatever that talks about, I think it's Sue's book that talks about that happening. So it's literally like an off screen happening.
Yeah. It's not the center.
No, it's not the center. It happens. And then we join the narrative again after it happens.
Yeah.
But also with news clippings and stories and accounts of what these people experienced. And then there is a piece where you're back into like Carrie's body when she's dissociated and burning things down and all of that. But here's the thing. She, in the book, she leaves the gym entirely. There's not this like dramatics.
Isn't like, there like a fire?
Walk through the thing. Yeah. She leaves it.
Okay.
Telekinetically shuts all the doors and traps them in there and then burns the shit down.
Gotcha.
Whereas in the movie, of course, she's dramatically like walking through the...
Yeah.
With these like wide eyes. Again,
she
cinematic.
She looks like a skeleton in that
delightfully
scene.
Delightfully cinematic, but she traps them all in there, feels the power of that, goes about her business, goes home. The thing happens with her mom. Mom dies. She's living... leaves the house, comes back to find the rest of them because she knows some of them got away. She knows that like Sue and all, I'm not Sue, but yeah, Sue and the people that actually threw the pig's blood on her, she knows that they got away. So she actually comes back. She's like, all right, my mom's dead. That's fucking awful. She feels awful. She feels guilty, but she comes back to go get them. So she doesn't like the house doesn't implode or any of that in the very poltergeisty way. That doesn't happen. She leaves. She goes back to kill them all. And a bunch of different things happen. And Sue actually comes upon her and she's like, she dies in a field. Carrie dies at the end and she like dies in a field. And
the end of the movie is good though.
Scene. It is. I'm not saying I like the movie, but the movie ends with Sue's story.
Okay.
You know, Carrie dies. And then there's this whole chunk of time that we have Sue's story.
Okay.
So like Sue's nightmares, you know, the laying flowers on Carrie's destroyed home.
So it's not as abrupt.
No, of course not, right? A book. I mean,
yeah.
King himself actually thought that was a better, the movie ending was better than his book. I think they're both good, but I thought another smaller incident that I thought was an interesting difference, and I'll just throw a few of these out before we wrap up, is that the book is still sad, still not hard to read. It's easy to read, but still complex. But there are more occasions for us to not feel as tense as the movie and not as anxious. Like Carrie says in the book when she's getting ready for the prom date that she knows that this is some kind of atonement that they're doing to her.
Okay.
She goes into it knowing that, like, she's not going to be in love with, like, Tommy's not in love with her right. or any of that. And it's not like, you know, those horrible bully movies that you watch where the girl actually thinks the guy likes her.
Right.
And it's this horrible thing. And then they humiliate her. It's not like that in the book. She says, you know, I'm really familiar with atonement. Mm. I've had to atone a lot of my mother's sins. And
sure.
like, I will live a life of guilt and atonement. And I know that they're doing some kind of atonement, but I'm going to enjoy it anyway. You know, so she kind of goes into it knowing that. And in the book, she's not as shocked that he asks her. It literally all happens in one small scene where she doesn't like run away and get mad or any of that. She just kind of looks at him like, why? You know, she's just a little confused.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and just a fun little fact. This is not this is not horror facts with Kath, but this is a fun fact, and maybe you've done it before, but the actual house from the Carrie movie is actually in Santa Paula. It's in Ventura County, which is, you know, not right around the corner from me, but it's pretty close. It's like, you know, a lot of these movies were shot in this area back in the 70s and 80s. So, you know, the Poltergeist house is over in Simi Valley. And this house has been destroyed since then, but it was okay. in Santa Paula at the time. So if anyone's recognizing the L.A. suburbia that is, in this movie, you are correct. So horror facts with Kath.
Horror facts with Shan.
Yeah, so... please join me on my itty bitty reread of Stephen King's stuff, and I'll try to make it somewhat interesting to you to show the differences in things. And I did watch Carrie the Rage 2, which was bad, but also 90s.
Okay.
It's not any worse than any other movie that we watched in the 90s about teenagers being awful. The guys in that movie are so much worse. Like the things that happen
in the second one?
In the second one are awful. It's just awful. It's like teenagers being really awful.
Oh.
And it's a different story. It's supposed to be a sequel. Like literally Amy Irving plays the coach this time around. And, you know, there's some other folks that you would recognize. Lots of, you know, the kid from Home Improvement and like lots of 90s actors in the mix. And I have to say, it's not anything I would ever watch again.
Okay.
But the 2013 Carrie, better.
The remake.
Yeah. I mean, it's all right. But I mean, come on. The first one is, no.
Just leave it.
But I would watch a series if they ever get it together. I know they were supposed to and maybe they just haven't yet, but I would watch that. So anyway, thank you for joining us on Terror Talk Horror Edition. This has been an episode of Terror Talk. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Kathy. Sleep safe, everyone.